4.
Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. You're chilled, you're relaxed, you're ready to go. Do you have a good April Fool's? Anyone try to pull any wicked pranks on you? Nobody pranked me this time around. Sometimes on the air we kind of pull a few pranks on some of you, but we didn't do that this time. We were easy. We decided to just let the whole April Fool's thing go. But if somebody did pull a good prank on you and it's worth sharing, please send it to me at americatonight.net. I'm always curious as to what people are doing to each other out there in the name of just kidding around. I have a nephew who is a big prankster. So I guess he thought he was going to scare me, and he sent me a couple of horror flicks in the mail. And the two things that he sent me, I have no idea what they're about or if they're any good. I have no idea where he even dug them up from. I don't know that I want to ask. Once I look at them, I'll give you a cheap little review on the air. I won't spoil it. But I think he thought it was going to be a kind of a funny prank, because he sent it to us. Here's your expensive birthday present note thing. Yeah, he had to have gotten them on Amazon for a buck, is what I'm thinking. All right, so we start here at the top of, as I said, yet another week, an important week, because at the end of the week, will there be a government shutdown or not? So much conversation over what could, should, might happen. What should happen is we should have a balanced budget, but we're not going to get that. But ultimately, how much will be slashed? Because we got to cut the spending. There's no question that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that we are bleeding out here. I mean, we are bleeding out. And for people who say, well, it doesn't matter, we'll just make it up, the horrible deficit, yeah, whatever. Except for that we have China holding on with a death grip to a ton of money that we owe them. We have a little slip here that says, you owe us money. And not just the Chinese, but the Japanese. And think of the situation Japan is in right now. How much does this come into play when 2012 rolls around? That'll be interesting. Because the president might be sending out emails on Monday. As early as Monday, the rumor is he could announce a re-election bid through multiple sources, like the whole Twitter thing, the email thing, all of that. But I'm guessing they're going to wait. They're going to think about this a little bit and decide what, let's see what happens with the budget, because that timing could, maybe doesn't play in our favor. Let's see what the negotiations are Monday on this spending bill. Is it going to be resolved, or are we going to have this government shut down? The interesting thing is, and I mean, this is what you do in this country when you run, you got to raise money. You got to be a good fundraiser. That's the other part of running for an office, for an elected office. So the first of the so-called re-election fundraisers would start in Chicago, gee, surprise, on April 14th. But they're denying that there's any kind of a public event. They're downplaying it. And the reason is because I think the fact that there's not a balanced budget. But they've already been trying to get ahead of the fundraising thing, and they're trying to shatter records, because that always makes big news. Oh, you know, the president got a gazillion dollars for his effort to get reelected or whatever. So they're asking what they call campaign bundlers. I read this on somewhere, CNN or Fox or somewhere, to raise $350,000 each. And that's got to be pretty tough, because if you think about it, the finance laws limit it per donor is $2,500. So if you've got to raise $350,000, you are knocking on a whole lot of doors. You are ringing the phone off the hook. And this is what's going on behind the scenes. It's perfect, because you have, of course, Rahm Emanuel in place in Chicago. He's the former chief, you know, the White House chief of staff, for Obama then splits, gets the gig as the mayor in Chicago, and he's got lots of influence in the Windy City, and et cetera. You know, whether it's Robert Gibbs or whether it's David Axelrod, that's the play, and that's what, of course, it was all along. But how much does the budget play into this? And I think the budget plays a lot into any kind of announcement there, because it wouldn't help the White House in the middle of what could be, who knows, a couple days of a shutdown, more disagreements on whose fault it is and where can we cut. And it'd be better to lay back, and so I think they'll probably lay back. But if any of you voted for the press, you'll probably be getting an email or a Twitter message, or maybe even something on Facebook, because I heard they're probably going to use Facebook too. You might have gotten, if you had a friend, one of the 118 on board this flight in Phoenix that took off on Friday, the Southwest flight. Imagine getting an email from your friend, "Oh, don't worry, I'm all right. There was a hole in the plane. We had an emergency landing at a military base in Yuma, Arizona. And, yeah, I had to wear an oxygen mask, and I had no idea how to put it on because, geez, I have to admit I never pay attention, that sort of thing." Well, that's exactly what happened to a bunch of people who were probably scared to death while they sat there, and this was all unfolding pretty much right after they took off. And that's when you're not thinking any of that kind of stuff. I mean, if you're a little bit heebie-jeebie about flying, I think once in the beginning you're not really thinking about that. Here's Robert Sumwalt talking about that Southwest flight and what the problem was.
We did find evidence of widespread cracking across this entire fracture surface.
A preliminary on-site examination reveals pre-existing fatigue along the entire fracture surface. And this is a term known in the industry as multi-site damage.
All right, multi-site damage, as he says in his own words, you know, the NTSB digging into this, and he's one of the board members, he said they're developing a service bulletin for all of those 737 models with flight cycle time, because it's about flight cycles. It's the taking off and the landing and the pressurization in the plane. You know, that the air pressure, the releasing it and pulling it back, releasing it and pulling it back. How many takeoffs and landing cycles do you have? The plane that made the emergency landing in Arizona had 39,000 takeoff and landing cycles, and it was about 15 years old. So it's that stretch of the metal. Boy, it's scary. It had to be scary when a hole ruptures with a blast. And that's the thing. You hear the blast, so you don't know what it is. You're sitting there on the plane and you hear a blast. Oh, if you were right near that, the people who were seated near that, and then the oxygen mask come down, everybody's fumbling, then the pilots make that dramatic descent, which, of course, they have to do. They're at 34,000 feet, and then they land on this military base. Thank goodness nobody was hurt. There were a couple of people, they said, that fainted, that were near that hole in the beginning. But nobody was seriously hurt. That's the great news about this flight, thank goodness. But it does make you think. The rip in the plane was about a foot wide, and it started along a joint where two sections, you heard a little bit of the description there, where two sections of the plane's skin were riveted together. I'm gonna make sure that I have my tunes on and I'm not paying attention to anything on the plane next time. Stay with us.
Most of us eat a blend of processed, man-made, and all-natural food. But the food you eat may not provide all the nutrition your body needs. We now know that liquid vitamin supplements are absorbed faster than pills. That's why you need C-Energy. From AffinityCEnergy.com, sea vegetation is known to be the richest source of organic minerals, and that's what you'll find in all-natural, great-tasting Sea Energy. Sea Energy contains aloe vera, black cherry, cranberry, and pomegranate juices, plus ginseng, cat's claw, ginger, ginkgo biloba, and over 50 trace minerals needed for healthy metabolism, all from natural organic sea plant sources. Get a 10% discount by using promo code GCN at checkout when you order Sea Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Call 855-732-3637. That's 855-732-3637. Or go to AffinitySeaEnergy.com today.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
This is an urgent message. Urgent if you care about feeding your family. S510 has passed through Congress and will make the sale of heirloom seeds difficult. Prices of non-GMO seeds are skyrocketing and may be hard to afford in the future, if you can even find them. As the economy continues to decline, this will make the heirloom seeds worth their weight in gold and one of the best barter tools available. When food supplies eventually run out, your solution is to grow your own food and barter tool. Now, for a short time, GetSeeds.net offers 100 packets of heirloom non-GMO vegetable seeds for only $59. Pay with 2 ounces of pure silver or just $59. The best price on the net for high-quality seeds. Our GetSeeds.net seeds are open pollinated vegetable seeds sealed in a Mylar bag for long-term storage. Bulk pricing available. So get seeds while you still can at GetSeeds.net or call toll-free 877-341-4769. That's 877-341-4769.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams. Been haunted by a million screams. I can hear the marching feet. They're moving into the street. Now, did you read the news today?
It's over. We're into another week here on America Tonight. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across the country and beyond our borders. Big shout out to all our friends in Australia and also many of those in the UK, too, as well. A big thing happened over the weekend in the middle of the concern over the planes for the Southwest airline, kind of one of those what would you do moments. I mean, really, how many people listening to me know when the oxygen mask comes down? Do you guys out there, do you know what to do with the oxygen mask? Okay, I'm just going to tell you. Place it over your nose and mouth. Put the strings behind your ears and breathe. Okay? Does everybody have that? Breathe and relax. If you're with a small child, put that oxygen mask on them first, and then put it on yourself. Although some say that's backwards, and really you should put it on yourself, and then you put it on your child. Either way, put the oxygen mask on. Relax and breathe. That's what you're supposed to do. I don't think anyone pays attention to the air folks anymore when the flight attendants go up and down the aisles and tell you, okay, these are the exit rows, and then should we have an emergency landing, and here's what happens in the case of the oxygen mask. I'm going to look around on my next flight and see how many people are paying attention to what's being said. And maybe they've heard it 1,000 times and they know it, to be fair, but I think a lot of people didn't really know what to do, because when the oxygen mask comes down, you're thinking a WTF moment. I know you are. Oh, man. That's what you are. You know it. You are praying. You're doing something. Because you know something's serious if that's happening. Yeah, it's not like, oh, expect some turbulence. Put your tray tables up. No, there's a hole in the front of the plane. Don't worry, the pilots are going to get us down. But Just in case, make sure you put this oxygen mask on because you're going to really need it. So we're going to change gears and go to Afghanistan. This was a huge thing that happened. You had lots of demonstrators and police that were clashing in a main city in southern Afghanistan. Because what happened is, there was another day of rage. There's been 3 days of rage over the Florida pastor burning the Quran. You know, didn't we know this was going to happen? Wasn't this talked about that this was probably what you would see? So one cop was shot dead in the second day of what was happening in Kandahar. And then two other officers and 18 other people were also hit, wounded, whatever, bleeding as a result of this. And Jalalabad, the largest city in the east there, hundreds of people just blocked a main artery, a main highway for 3 hours plus, shouting for U.S. troops to leave, burning a dummy of Barack Obama, stomping on a drawing of the U.S. flag. And then you had people that were setting tires on fire, blocking another highway. So it was nasty stuff, scary stuff. Scary in the sense that obviously there was some violence and some people were hurt as a result of it. And this all goes back to the what happened with the burning of the Quran in that Florida church. And it was the same church, by the way, whose pastor was threatening to do that last year. Remember on the anniversary of the September 11th attacks, and there was a lot of outrage and a lot of people had opinions about it, but he didn't do it. They didn't do it. They didn't burn the Quran. So now all of a sudden they did do this just a couple of, 3 weeks ago, month ago, 3 weeks ago, I guess, and that spread. The word spread, it's out there, and the protests were all about that. Although I'd say it's just been building up for a long time in Afghanistan. And really, it has to do with being occupied. And then also civilians who have been killed as, sadly, collateral damage, and that just is fueling it. So this is just something that has fueled it. This is the tip of the iceberg. With the burning of the Quran thing. And that's not the only thing. There are a couple of other things. You have in Afghanistan word traveling through the mosques and other areas about the trial of the soldiers who have been charged with killing those three Afghans. And then all the photos that were published of them posing with the dead bodies. Now, of course, that's going to anger. That's an easy way to whip up a crowd. Think about it. If you want to be the swizzle stick, what are you doing? You got those pictures. That's what you're doing. You're showing those pictures. You're doing anything you can for any anti-American, anti-Western attitude. So, yes, the burning of the Quran was easy to say this is what's setting us off, but I think it was all of those things combined. So you had hundreds of Afghans holding copies of the Quran over their heads, marching in Kandahar before they started to throw Molotov cocktails and go after people. And so what are the police going to do? They're going to open fire. And you had people that were killed. And, you know, you had 81 people who were wounded and 17 people were arrested. So then you say to yourself, and the conversation turns toward, and you'll hear this, I'm sure, a lot of conversations on the Sunday Swirl, which is what I call the talking heads politically on any of the Sunday shows. You know what I'm talking about. You wake up, you're drinking your Joe, and you flip around, and that's what you see different political people on talking about Libya, Afghanistan, whatever the latest buzz is. And this was certainly one of the things that happened. You had General Petraeus and Mark Sidwell, who's the top NATO guy, saying that they hope the Afghanistan people understand that this is just a small amount of people who have been disrespectful to the Holy Quran and aren't representative of any of the countries of the international people who are there to help. The Taliban used this, though, and of course, they took a hold of it and just used it for what they wanted to see happen, and specifically pointed to that church. But like I said, there were other things leading up to that, too. And so they released a statement saying that the U.S. and other Western countries excuse the burning of the Quran as freedom of speech, and that Afghans can't accept this pay attention to this un-Islamic act. So Afghan forces, under the order of the foreign forces, attacked those unarmed people that I mentioned during the protests. Some were arrested, some were killed. All of that went down. So to what end? So the burning of the Quran. With that pastor burning the Quran, would you pin what happened in the Afghanistan people reacting violently to that? Would you pin it on him? And you know what? I'm going to say no, because I think that this was an easy thing to feed the beast. And the beast is the Taliban. And what does the Taliban want? Of course, for thousands of years, what have they wanted? For thousands of years, what are the people worshiping? What are they paying attention to? And, clearly you know the answer. The president said the desecration of any holy text, including the Quran, is an act of extreme intolerance and bigotry. He released that statement. The Florida pastor is the guy we talked about before, Terry Jones. And the president said, that the killings in Afghanistan are outrageous and an affront to human decency and dignity. I mean, here's more cracks in what's happening in Afghanistan. I mean, and ultimately we come back to the same thing, and I ask you this. You're a smart audience. Do you think the Afghanistan people, when the NATO, I'll call them NATO, when the NATO forces leave, whenever that is, because, you know, we know it's not going to be 2014 like it was scheduled to be, but when the NATO forces leave, do you think the people will have democracy working? Will they have any form of democracy that we know of? Will there be people voting as to who's coming into office and not suffocating the ballot box with guys like Hamid Karzai? Because let's face it, I mean, how do you think he won? So what will be different in that country? What would be so different in that country? Will the Taliban be gone? 800-259-5791 or americatonight.net.
Freedom, the blistering anti-globalist anthem from the rock band Ravelin. Just one of 11 great songs from the album Under the Sun. Available on iTunes and at Ravelin.com. R-A-V-E-L-Y-N. Ravelin.com. Spring and a new growing season are here. Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with Organicaseed.com. Easy because Organicaseed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to Organicaseed.com, spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-C-A-Seed.com. Organicaseed.com. Remember, Organicaseed is healthy seed.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338, utopiasilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Do you want to learn more about preparing for the hard times ahead? Have you ever thought about actually getting off the grid and becoming truly self-reliant? Introducing Off the Grid News, a weekly newsletter for independent Americans who want practical advice on how to survive and even prosper in an increasingly dangerous world. It's the best way to get a black belt in emergency preparedness, survival skills, and off-the-grid living. Packed with hard-hitting information on gardening, food preparation, alternative energy, and home security, there's simply nothing like it. And the best part? This $100 annual subscription is now free of charge. Simply sign up today and you'll also get our hard-hitting report, Food Shock, Why 2011 Could Be the Single Most Important Year in American History to Plant a Family Garden. It's absolutely free for listeners who sign up at offthegridnews.net. That's offthegridnews.net. Get your free Food Shock right now at offthegridnews.net.
Afghanistan and the burning of the Quran in Florida, tying the two events together, the Taliban blaming it on the pastor, saying that this is why, this is what's happened as a result of it. Give me a break. There's a whole bunch of other things that have led to this, but okay. And so now it's opened up the discussion once again if, should we burn the Quran in the United States? Should anyone do that? Because if they do, that might make the Taliban get upset, and then that will affect the troops. Will it hurt the troops? And will there be more anti-American sentiment as a result? Well, the answer is nothing goes unnoticed because of how information, boom, is faster than the speed of light. So it doesn't matter. It could be any little town, anybody doing anything anywhere, saying whatever they want to say, and then ultimately that could be used as rhetoric for anti-American statements and twisting it into, well, this is baloney, and so we need to protest the occupation here in Afghanistan. It's a perfect way to twist it if you're the Taliban, and they would twist anything. Not that I'm defending the pastor, I mean, really. Burning the Quran to what end? You just have to ask yourself to what end. There are other protests or other ways to do things to be heard in a much bigger, this is what I would say, in a much bigger arena than that. There are other things that you could do. There are conversations we have all the time about what lies underneath and the difference in Islamic terrorism and how frightening the idea of a jihadist movement is to any of us. And certainly that goes all the way back to 9/11 and all the things that have happened previously, and all the hard feelings and opening up the entire Middle East to talk about what has happened for thousands and thousands of years, basically. What's happened for thousands of years. So, to me, what he did, you know, I guess got publicity. So it did. It did. Got publicity. Got publicity the first time around. And then, ultimately, was he responsible for what happened in Afghanistan? And I would say no, because even more potent than that were the pictures of the dead bodies of the three Afghanistan people who the soldiers killed. And that was the big publicity nightmare that I think has catapulted and led to some of the things that happened in the last 3 days. It's easy to also throw the Quran burning in there, and that's what the Taliban did. But I don't think I would pin all of that on. I wouldn't give them that much power, because I don't think there's that much power in what happened in a very small burning, to be honest. And listen, we live in the United States of America. And you know what the great thing about living in the United States of America is? We have freedom of speech. So whether you think it's ugly, hateful, stupid, or smart, or you agree with it, or whatever, the great thing is we have the right to do it. It's like the arguments over burning the American flag. Ugh, nothing sickens me more than to see a burned American flag. I grew up in Philly. Betsy Ross land. I mean, the flag was sacred. Flag Day was a big deal in my house. I know how to fold the flag. I know that it's not supposed to touch the ground. I can't stand the idea of anyone protesting and burning the flag. But yet, this is part of living in America, isn't it? That we have freedom of speech. We do not have state-run media where things are being pumped out to you that you have to listen to, or maybe you tune it off, but you don't have the freedom to pick and choose what you want to listen to or not listen to anything at all. I mean, this is the brilliance of living here. So the pastor in Florida, whether I agree with it or not, whether you agree with it or not, we live in a country where you have the right to protest how you want to protest. Now, the other side of this is, how safe will he be? You think some nutball won't go after him? His kids are worried about that. His son didn't want him to do it because of putting a target on his back, especially if the story blows up, which now it absolutely has. All right, in a couple of minutes here, we're going to go to the Daily Salute, plus we're going to check the email. But first, let's go to Mark in New York. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, I just have a question or two, or just a observation. First of all, last week when the six soldiers were killed, six in Afghanistan, was that because of this scenario, the flag burning? I mean, of the Quran burning? Do you know about that?
No, I know about the soldiers, but no, I heard it was not, didn't have anything to do with
and
that.
I wanted to call because I wasn't in tears or anything, but I was like, Kate, can you tell us why we're still in Afghanistan? Does anybody know why these guys are dying to keep a Sharia-compliant government in action in Afghanistan?
I agree. Look, you and I have said this all along. You've called for a long time. How are we changing anything in Afghanistan? Like you said, Sharia law. Karzai, the dirtiest of the dirty. He was elected because the ballot box was stuffed, basically.
Right, and we talked about how his brother was one of the biggest drug lords. And we're sorry to your audience, both me and yourself, if we're repeating ad nauseum, but we still would like to know the answers to this, because we had a scroll of the numbers of people that died in Iraq when Bush was in office, and I'm not going to beat a dead horse about how we relied on Iraq and Afghanistan, because I've changed my tune over the years. You listen to me. Mm-hmm. We're disgusted. We don't have the money for this. I mean, that's not even the most important thing. Our guys are in the ground, and what are they fighting for? I've been listening to all these talk shows tonight, and people are asking the question, why are they dying for this garbage? And if the pastor did anything, he just proved a point. you cannot show any type of illustration of the so-called Prophet Muhammad, and they lose their minds. But here's a question I ask. This is, with everything else going on, with us being broke and the debt, I can keep going. You know, I go into all these different subjects, and you say, Mark, just stay on one subject. This little black fella in Staten Island, 13 years old, who tried to rip a hijab off his classmate, the Muslim girl. Did you see that story in the New York Post?
I did.
All right, this little kid, for people that haven't realized it, a little African-American boy, he was in school, a real miscreant. He tried to rip the hijab off a Muslim girl. I would say to you, in the vast world that's going on, if you burn a Quran or you say something about Muhammad or draw him and you go off to Comedy Central, isn't this boy's family under a death threat now, or the whole African-American community in Staten Island? But all of a sudden, but you'll notice, Kate, you don't hear that. I mean, it doesn't rise to the level, say, of burning a Quran, but this little African-American boy attacked a Muslim girl. Excuse me, America, it wasn't a Tea Party member. It was some miscreant. Now, you could just push it aside and say, oh, he's just 13 years old. He doesn't know any better. But that doesn't matter. If there's an insult against Islam, how come there's no outcry? It's just something that I just curious. No one else brought it up, and I figured I'll throw it out there. If you're going to be true to your word about attacking the infidel, well, there's a little infidel for you. How safe is this kid going to be? That's just something I was thinking about. And
no, you're right. And it was, and really, it's interesting that the Post was one of the Post covered it, and there were other New York newspapers that mentioned it, but the Post really played it up. And nobody's talking about it right now. But I guarantee.
Well, it doesn't fit the narrative.
Yeah, it doesn't fit the narrative. That's it. You know what? You're right.
A little white boy, a little Christian boy, and you can forget about it. I guarantee you that his church would have been burned if it was a little white Christian boy who, 13 years old, apparently, you know, I'm just saying, I just look at that and how this, it's the whole freaking world is aflame. It's just sad. And the president gets a pass. He goes into another Muslim country. I'm sorry to jump topics, but he's into another Muslim country for whatever. I mean, I've listened to all these topics about George Soros and Goldman Sachs and how everybody's got the, it's always the dollar. But this guy, he's looking to cruise into re-election, and he's going to raise $1 billion. From where? Who the hell is going to give this guy $1 billion? I can think of some sovereign wealth funds from the Middle East that might have some money for this guy. And let me leave you with this. I know I always jump around.
Go ahead.
If he is re-elected, I'm sorry. Robert Chittum wrote a book. I mentioned to you this many times. If you folks want to look it up, Robert Chittum, Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America. And don't roll your eyes and go, here we go again with this Civil War stuff. Look, he's not my president now. He will not be my president if he's reelected with the voter fraud and everything else that's going on. And I don't know who they're going to put up against him, and maybe just some of the same old, same old. But Robert Chittum said the country breaks up into three different autonomous regions. I see it happening if we get to the election. You know, everybody else talking about 2012 and all this end times and stuff, and who knows if that's true or not. But if he gets in again, there's a vast swath of the people, the 50 million or whatever, or 53 million that didn't vote for this guy. They're going to say, you know what? We don't want anything more to do with him and his judicial picks for the Supreme Court and the way he's just giving all the bureaucrats in the country, EPA on down, ATF, to just roll over us. And we're not going to accept. I'm just saying to you right here on the air in America right now, I'm not going to accept this guy. And I don't know where I'm going to go, but I don't want to be the ruled over dominion of this king here who feels he is. And if anybody thinks I'm kidding with a king, Hillary told some of the leaders of the House and Senate, you try to defund this guy's war. He doesn't give a damn. He's going to keep on doing what he's going to keep on doing. So all you leftists out there who hated Bush and the acting like a king and doing whatever you want to do, going over Congress's head, this guy's doing the same damn thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, and I'll call you tomorrow. Thanks, baby.
Yeah, interesting, Mark, what he said there. It is the same thing. This is why I always say this is the problem with the Democrats and the Republicans. It's the same old thing, and maybe it's served up in a different manner, but it is the same old thing. Trust me. He's going to run for re-election. I don't see, Mark, anybody who is going to beat. Right now, I don't see anyone beating Barack Obama. Who is that going to be? Donald Trump? Mike Huckabee just winning a straw poll in South Carolina? Do you think Huckabee beats Barack Obama, who, as Mark said, is going to raise a gazillion dollars? All right, we're checking the mail next.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold-processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low, at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy flew away elderberry liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at herbalhealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
We're going to check the mail, like I promised, here on ATN with me, Kate Delaney, hanging out with you in the beginning of the week here on these airwaves. And coming up this week, it's going to be interesting. First of all, we've got a Monday night showdown that pits Butler and UConn. Can you imagine? Butler and UConn. In fact, I'm going to go to Matt in a second here. After we go through the email, I'm going to ask Matt what he thinks. But I wonder if that game is gonna come down to the waning moments. Because UConn, they just battled all the way through. And I think they have a great chance to win this. But the underdog is certainly Butler. In case you missed it, UConn and Kentucky went at it. And Kentucky was on the short end of the stick. They had a terrible first half. And Brandon Knight, their leading scorer, just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn when they needed them to. But in the second half, things turned around, but it wasn't enough. They just fell short. It ended up, score-wise, they lost by a point. But really, it was a couple of points in the waning, you know, minute of the game, under a minute to go. So we'll get to that in a second, and we'll get to some quick emails here. But before we do that, I want to give out a daily salute. We need some happy news. These are really good people. If you're part of a kidney swap, I read this story over the weekend about a 5-way kidney swap. So there's a problem. Someone's waiting to get a kidney. They know they can die. They're on a transplant list for years sometimes. And there was a woman, she was 65 years old, out of California, who was waiting for that amount of time. She was there for half a decade. And her husband, he just wasn't compatible. So he gave a kidney to somebody else who he was compatible with, and then ultimately she got a kidney back from a stranger who agreed to make the swap. And then it was repeated basically five times. It's a live kidney goes to somebody who has a friend or relative willing to donate an organ that wouldn't be compatible for them but was a match for somebody else on the list. What a brilliant idea this is. I say bravo to the people in the business of trying to save lives in the organ donation business. Yeah, woo! Transplantation. And donation is really what it's called. It's incredible that they're doing this. And they have to, you know, you go on a list. The computer has this list of people. And the software, I guess they say, makes it much more effective now in trying to come up with these kind of complex paired donation matches. But it works. So what a great thing. Somebody donates a kidney to somebody else they're compatible with. This makes that list go faster. And bravo to the people who are making that happen. There are like 83,000 people. 83,000 people on the waiting list for kidney transplants. Wow. So the number of live kidney donors is really down. It's down to 6,647, some number like that. And it just keeps dropping. So this is a good thing because that's an organ that people need. And again, bravo to those who are, and bravo to the people who are willing to donate to strangers. Because, you know, hey, not for nothing, they tell you it doesn't hurt, but you got to feel something. You're giving up a kidney to somebody else. All right, without further ado, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. This is from Alex listening to us on WVMT. The reason I know that is because Alex says, hey, Kate Delaney, I listen to you all the time, or at least when I can stay awake, to be honest, in Vermont. I've been listening now for a couple of years at least. Got to ask you a question about the planes. How scary is that? I heard about the Southwest deal and the fact that 70-some planes are not flying. What is the deal with the cycles? Okay, the cycling is, when they talk about cycling, it's just the takeoffs and the landings. That's a cycle. So how many cycles do the planes go through where the metal is stretched, you can get it, and then the fuselage, boom, got that hole in it. So they're checking the other planes to make sure that this isn't happening. But you also wonder, I think, and I know some airline mechanics, and I know that they're often pressured to hurry up. It's all about that fast. Hurry up, get it done. It's not about so much precision anymore. It's boom, hurry up and get it done. Like I said, I know some really good airline mechanics, and they've told me that. I won't say the airlines, but let's just say major airlines, where it's about the time, the speed, in and out, get it done, boom, boom, boom. They don't want to spend a lot of money because, you know, they're not, it's going to be all right. It's fine. We have this and this and this and this. We have other checks, other systems. Yeah, right. So I think it's scary, but that's what a cycle is. It's the landing, the takeoff, and the landing. That's considered a cycle. And the plane that, by the way, had the emergency landing on Friday, over 30,000 cycles, 15 years. And what kind of test, what does that mean? Is there a stopping point where it's too much? So Southwest is canceling, like, I think in the beginning of the week, 100 flights. They're hoping to check everything by Tuesday. Here's one from the Duke. Hello, ATN. My question is, do you really think Donald Trump has a snowball's chance, and you know what, to become the Republican rep, Kate, for 2012? I don't know. That's a great question. I've asked that question probably four times on the air. I've given poll numbers. I've talked about what Trump has said. He's definitely going after Obama. I mean, he brings up anything that's as controversial as it can be because he has nothing to lose. He says he has the money, which he does, to run. How serious is he, though? And would people vote for Donald Trump? You know, he's that New Yorker guy who has a name and people know him, I think even in the heartland and all across the country, because he's got the television show and whatnot. But would they vote for Donald Trump? That's the thing you have to ask yourself. And I'll call it the traditional politician, the Mike Huckabees, the Mitt Romneys. Those are the guys out there. Michelle Bachmann wants to run. Newt Gingrich wants to run. Who knows what's going on with Sarah Palin. So I'm going to say that, let's see if he gets real serious, what the polls say then. I'm reserving judgment. I'm going to say he'd have to, instead of broad strokes and attacks on Obama, he's got to come up with some really meaty stuff to get more people to jump on his bandwagon. If he does that, maybe he does get those people. All right, here's another quick one. This one is from Little Ed. Kate, what did you think of that nonsense with Charlie Sheen? I heard he really bombed, flamed out in Detroit. Are you surprised? We talked about this. I think he's a nice guy. He's just a guy who has had some serious success in his career, whether it's through the films, The Platoon, Wall Street, or Two and a Half Men, the sitcom deal. But doing a stage show is a lot different than Twittering, saying a couple of catchphrases, saying there's a bunch of nonsense going on, all that kind of stuff is different than being on the stage and entertaining. People are looking for the funny. It's tough to be a comedian. It's tough to weave that stuff in there, and he didn't do that in Detroit. He did a little bit better in Chicago because it was a talk show format. Somebody interviewed him. He asked, you know, answered questions and then did some other stuff, and that's probably the better path. And if he takes that and they improve that down the line, then he'll finish all those tour dates and it'll probably end up okay, but not what happened in the first one. Matt, what do you think? Who are you picking on Monday? Are you picking UConn or are you picking Butler?
I'm going with Butler.
Wow, I'm going with UConn, but I think it's a tight game. I think maybe ends 5-point difference.
I just think, I don't know, for some reason it just seems like Butler's always just prepared for whatever the other team throws at them, and they adjust at halftime. They adjusted to VCU's constant running and pressure, so I just think Brad Stevens is the better coach, and he'll finally get the championship.
Ooh, I think Jim Calhoun is the better coach, and I think he's been rejuvenated. He is like the grandpa, but I think he'll end up winning. I think UConn wins this. They've had to really push their way through this, even though they're a big team. And I think Kemba Walker is
tired. They're tired.
Oh, I've heard that already from the Buddha man. I think they win, but I think Butler gives it a run. I love the underdog, and I love the coach and what he said, how that, you know, there is no perfection. He taped that to their locker. There is no perfect. I think that's brilliant to say that to these kids, because when you go on the court, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to hit all your shots. And so not think about it when you miss. Just keep going. And it's worked. And he is a good coach. He's a fine coach. He'll end up, eventually with an even bigger program. But I think UConn does it. For all you Connecticut people out there listening and all you fans of UConn, I think UConn takes it to the bank. We'll see.